Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back to In This League on FNTSY. I am Scott Bogman. I am joined by a guest now. He is my friend Nick Allen. His website is CFB Winning Edge. It is incredible. The type of information that Nick is putting out there is insane. If you are a college bettor, you need to know about it. If you are a college fantasy player, if you are into college football, I would recommend it. It is incredible. Nick, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. And I'm excited about your stuff because, you know, we talked a couple months ago and we were talking about just, you know, how great your stuff is. And I kind of mentioned this to you about college fantasy football nerds and how this can help us, you know. But how did you kind of come up with this system? Just kind of explain CFB Winning Edge to me.
Overall. Sure. Well, it's a pretty long story, and I get long-winded, so cut me off if need be. But I have bounced around a little bit over the years. I went to the University of Georgia, and after I graduated there, I actually stayed in Athens for about 3 years and coached high school football at Clark Central High School, which is right down the road there. And I was extremely fortunate to land there because the coaching staff was just incredible. And for a high school in particular. I like to sometimes say I'm the tiniest twig that fell off the Nick Saban coaching tree because our head coach at Clark Central actually worked for Saban as the tight ends coach when he was at LSU, his last year there. And when he left to go to the Dolphins, our head coach ended up going back to high school. He had been at a couple of colleges, but had been more of a high school coach throughout. So anyway, he landed in Athens a year or so before I did. And I just lucked into it through an internship and met him. And our defensive coordinator was also a longtime college assistant coach at the Division I level. So I quickly learned from those guys what I don't know. Which is something I think is pretty important. I mean, I was, you know, a 22-year-old kid that just graduated college. I had watched football. I had played football. I thought I knew football. And then I decided, you know what, I'm gonna coach a little football. And I found out real quick that there was a lot of stuff that I didn't know. And so that kind of opened my eyes to a lot of different things. Stayed there for about 3 years and then looked for a change of scenery, and I ended up working in minor league baseball for 3 years in Helena, Montana, of all places. So
just a hotbed for baseball.
Helena, it is. Well, yeah, especially since the team I used to work for there is no longer with us, unfortunately. they closed up shop last year. But, you know, got a lot of experience there in a different sort of realm. I'd always been a baseball guy. I coached baseball when I was at Clark Central as well. So I had kind of always had those dual passions. And then after about 3 years, another opportunity presented itself, this time for my wife, actually, just a job offer she couldn't refuse. And that sort of took me off the market. It's a interesting thing that we move very regularly. We've lived in
nomads.
Yeah, I counted it up together. We've lived in a dozen different places. We in the last 2 years have lived in three different states and one U.S. territory. So we bounce around a lot.
So
I needed something to do to keep myself occupied. And through my love of college football and through some of the things I had learned while working in baseball on the business side, some ideas just started to flow a little bit. And I thought, you know what, if I could do anything, I would just love to cover college football pretty much in any way I can. So I've written for a bunch of websites, and along the way, I started to develop my own sort of system of thinking of the game, incorporating some of the actual football knowledge I picked up as a, you know, former small-time high school player, and then from learning from some really gifted coaches at the high school level, I picked up some things that you know, some journalists miss, and even some commentators I felt like might miss. And then on the baseball side, I had become decently well versed in a lot of the sort of modern metrics that baseball teams. Exactly. And there are a couple of people out there that have sort of brought an analytical style and a lot of numbers to college football. Bill Connolly specifically has been a huge pioneer in that field. But I kind of thought that there might be an opportunity maybe to do something a little bit different and hopefully maybe even a little bit better, because there really wasn't anybody that I saw who was putting in really the, you know, I don't want to say the work, I guess, but maybe that's partly it. Wasn't putting in the work to put a specific rating for every player, similar to what, you know, we might see in a college football video game,
right?
You know, that we haven't seen in a few years, and I grew up playing those games, you know, and of course Madden and FIFA and things like that, and all these games kind of have a similar way of expressing how good a player is, and it's their overall rating.
And you're of that generation, just like I am, you know, where
exactly
we want an overall rating. So I love your system of VGR, and we're going to talk about that in a second, which, of course, to all of us means video game rating system, which is just amazing to me. It's one of those things where I look and I'm like, well, this is perfect, you know.
Hope so.
I think it's awesome that, you know, I feel like everyone who, you know, every sports fan, when you kind of pull yourself back to the one that you love the most, and it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you did baseball for a long time, you did football for a long time, and it felt like you just came back to college football because it is your favorite sport. And I feel like with college football, the people are ravenous. I mean, you know that Tennessee is going to win the championship every single year. You can't tell the Tennessee fans anything different. If you don't talk enough about Nebraska when you're talking college football, the Nebraska fans get mad at you. You know, it's just the people are so passionate. They're so ravenous about this. And, you know, college football just kind of drags you back regardless of what else you're doing, right?
Absolutely. It's always been a passion of mine. So, again, the opportunity just sort of came up, you know, if I could do anything, because I've got to work from home, I've got to be mobile, what would I do to fill my time? And this was it.
So, all right. So you decide to take the analytical side of college football and make your ranking system. Now, kind of explain to us how you make your ranking system, because I know you have team rankings, you have strength rankings, you break down all the players. So let's start with roster strength, because that's a big thing that you put out on your Patreon, and that is patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge, if you guys are looking for that. So explain to me how you put together your roster strength.
Sure. So when I was just sort of fiddling with things, you know, I had the idea of an overall rating would be great to give each individual player. And on a scale of, you know, 60 to 100, having played those games, we know pretty much what those mean. But I wasn't exactly sure how to go about it. So I was trying to think of something that was simple, but also something that didn't take a whole lot of opinion into account. I was hoping to find sort of a mathematical or scientific way of doing it. So I thought about what would make, you know, what traits would go into an overall rating. And unfortunately, you know, I don't have the ability to assign a specific speed or agility or strength or all of that, at least not yet.
Awareness.
Right, exactly. You know, I haven't been able to go down and assign throwing power for each punter, you know. I thought of a fairly simple way. Really, when we think about it, a college football player, his overall skill set, in my opinion, comes in three different aspects. There's his talent potential. There's experience, which is important in college football. We think about returning starters and returning, you know, yards and things like that. And then also on a similar note, production. What's the production the player has had over the course of his career? So I got to think, how could I find the talent potential? Well, fortunately, that's pretty simple. There's some great people at sites like 247sports.com. They rate every high school prospect across the country. You know, they put in a lot of hours. They got a lot of people working on it. And while that is an opinion system, it's at least something that has been market tested, so to speak. I mean,
right.
There's a pretty good, you know, we know what a five star
is. It's a good base.
We know what a, exactly. Fortunately, they actually, 247 in particular, uses a similar scale to what I was looking for. They rate players, like if it's a walk-on player or something like that, or somebody that's really not much of a FBS level prospect, they're going to get a rating in the 70 range. A perfect player, so to speak, in the 247 sports composite, somebody who was ranked number one overall in all the different rating systems that go into that, is going to get a one or a 100 rating. And so an example of that would have been, I think Trevor Lawrence might have been the number one total player. So he might have had a perfect rating. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, so a perfect rated player would be a one or a 100. And so as I was looking at that, like, okay, that's a pretty good starting point.
Right.
But we know that a player, the first day he steps onto campus, isn't at his full potential yet. You know, Trevor Lawrence, as good as he was last year, he wasn't a 99 overall the day he stepped on campus.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't even start for the first 4 weeks. So
it's like when you're reading a guy's potential, like, okay, he's a 99. It's just like leveling up in anything else. You know, he's a 99 to 100 in high school. The day he walks in, he probably starts out at like an 82, you know, something
exactly.
like that. And he's got to build. He's got that potential. You know, you're filling up that potential bar to 100, mm-hmm. but he's got to get there.
Exactly. So that's the way I treated it, was that rating, the 247 sports composite rating, that's going to be what a player could get at 100% of his potential. So my thought was that's what he would be as a senior. You know, if nothing else changes, he's going to be that max potential theoretically as a senior. So I was starting to think, again, back to the video game, what's sort of the best true freshman rating that I could remember? And it was something in about the 85 range. And so I started just sort of plugging some numbers into a calculator and thought, you know what, if a freshman, if I just take that 247 sports rating and take 85% of that and assign that to a true freshman, that makes a certain amount of sense. That seems about right. So if that player were then to become a sophomore, 90%, that seems about right. Junior, 95, that seems about right. What about a redshirt freshman? Well, somewhere between 85 and 90. So just split the difference, 87.5. And so what I did was take the rating for each player for every team, and then just put it into a simple formula based on their class. So I just did a certain percentage for that. But then I wanted to add production.
Yes.
So this, you know, it's kind of difficult to boil production down to just one simple thing because
let's just boil it down to one simple thing. It's got to be easy, right? Like, this guy had a good game, he must be good. So
right
he caught a lot of passes in college, he's clearly going to be a first round pick. So everyone knows that. It's simple stuff.
It is. So I was just trying to, you know, I was doing a lot of guess and check.
Of course.
Plugging some things in. Does that look right? No, not quite. So as I was scrolling through and I was building out Google Sheets this whole time, putting in players, putting their name, their weight, their height, their 247 rating, doing the quick calculation for their class. And as I was scrolling through stat pages, and there's a lot of great work out there, a lot of really great sites that have helped, you know, what I'm trying to do, and college football fans, of course. I was looking through the different stat pages and thought, you know what? Again, the video game kept popping back in my mind. If a player in the game just went off, had, you know, 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, passing, you know, that sort of thing, he would get a little boost. You might get a point added here or there to a certain rating, or maybe even to his overall rating. And over the course of the season, a player might gain 3 or 4 or 5 points, depending on how well they played. So I thought, instead of doing just look at the end of the year and, oh, if a player had, you know, 3,000 passing yards and 30 touchdowns, that was a good player, give him a little bit of, you know, an extra point or two for that. I thought if a player has an excellent game, that might be the way to do it, because then he's going to get, you know, a point here, a point there, and kind of add up over the course of the season. So I made just a little chart on pen and paper. Different
old napkin ratings.
Yeah, exactly. I'm old school in that way for sure. I got spiral notebooks all over the
place.
Sometimes
you just have to see it written down first. You know,
exactly.
That just has to happen.
So I just jotted down different stat totals, benchmarks that players could get to earn what I would call a production point. Pretty simply, it's 300 yards passing for a quarterback, 100 yards rushing for a running back or a quarterback, 100 yards receiving, and then I've got a different list based on different counting stats for defensive players. So, like, for every 25 tackles, they get one, for every 2 sacks, for every 2 interceptions, that sort of thing. So
this is fascinating. We do have to take a break. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back, and I want to hear more about this rating system because I'm absolutely enthralled. So we will be right back after this break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Welcome back to In This League on FNTSY Radio. I am your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. The Welsh went to go get a sandwich during this subject. He is out for lunch. It is just me and my friend Nick Allen, the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge. Like I told you guys before, his stuff is awesome. You should definitely check it out if you get a chance. We were talking about your video game rating system before we hit the break, Nick. And you were talking about how you make this system. You know, you start at a 247 score baseline, You add in elements of production. You add in elements of, you know, continuation of the career for these players. And you you have bonuses for good production as well. And I believe where we left off was we were talking about the defensive players and the ranges where they will get bonuses for the great production. So if you want to pick up there, this stuff is, I mean, I am I'm ready to make a new video game after you're talking about all this stuff.
Well, I who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky and get one
in a few years. Do you hate that every year? There's a whole NCAA might be coming back. You know, the Welsh and I talked about this on the show last week where we were talking about the NCAA game and how everyone has to hate Ed O'Banion now because he's the guy that kind of ruined it for us by suing EA and EA saying, you know what, we're just going to quit making this because it doesn't make us enough money. It's not worth the trouble, blah, 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 blah. So but he's like, the Welsh said, hey, look, I saw an article that said that maybe they're going to bring it back. And I'm like, that article comes out yearly and we never get the game back. It's just an article for clicks, isn't it?
You know, it's hard to tell. This most recent one, and maybe it's just the longer it goes on, maybe your hopes get you just of want course. It a little bit more. Right. So maybe I just want to believe it this time, but I don't know. It seemed like that maybe there's a step in the right direction.
I don't know. I think about 5 years ago, I quit reading them. So yeah. I'm like, you know what? I just can't take it. Like, just tell me when it's coming back. I don't need if we cross this bridge and if we go into Narnia and we can explore all of these situations, you know, then we're going to get the game back. Just tell me when the game's coming back. But anyway, I interrupted when we were talking about the defensive players here and how you really make your ratings. We're kind of getting into how the sausage is made. I love this.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of gory details in here and I don't want to bore anybody too much, but just, you know, wanted to also show that there is sort of a method to the madness here. You know, we're not just picking a number out of thin air and right. That's the player rating. So yeah, I did want to fold in some different defensive statistics and it's always a little more difficult to keep track and tally up those individual production points for defensive players. So on a game by game basis, if a player got a couple of picks, if they got a couple of sacks, that would earn them a point. And then over the course of the year at different points, I go through again all the stat pages and if a player gets 25 tackles, that's a point. If they get 5 tackles for loss, that's another point. And just sort of different statistics, pick them out here and there. And again, just sort of as I was tallying them all up and just kind of comparing, does that make sense? It seemed to fit pretty well. It's not a perfect system by any means. You know, I'm not here to say that a player that CFB Winning Edge ranks as a 100 is a perfect player. but, it seems to work. And over the course of last year, which was our first full season implementing the system, it seemed to work pretty well, comparing our ratings to actual on-field production. And then also, of course, we build these player ratings so that we can build upon them to create team ratings and rankings and then ultimately hope to use them to project, you know, who's going to win, who's going to lose. And then the way we test whether or not we're doing well, whether or not our ratings and rankings are really worth their salt, we compare them to the Las Vegas point spread on a weekly basis and sort of see how things fall along those lines.
And I mean, that's got to be exciting to watch your work, you know, kind of come to fruition and you know, see how you are against Vegas. I think that's probably the biggest thing that people are going to be looking for out of a system like this, unless they're like me, you know, who I play college fantasy football as well. So, you know, obviously the individual players' ratings are one of the biggest things for me, especially on the skill position guys. Let me ask you this, and this is kind of putting you on the spot because I didn't ask you about this beforehand. And I know you and I are guys that like to prep for every situation, but I didn't prep you for this one. Last year, is there a player that rose that you weren't expecting? Like, I think all those five-star pedigrees, four-star pedigrees, we see a lot of improvement from, and we kind of expect it. Was there a player in your system, and I can hear the frantic clicking, that rose and you were kind of like, man, this guy hit so many production markers. Maybe he wasn't that big of a name coming out. Or maybe it's a guy like Laviska Shenault that switched positions. I believe he originally came in as a safety.
Over the course of the year and as certain games would go on and guys are, you know, putting up big passing yardage numbers or rushing totals, things like that, they start to add up those points pretty quickly. And we also add a point if a player gets like conference player of the week or a national player of the week on or something like that. Nice. So along the way, yeah, there really were guys that, you know, hardly anybody knew before the season that became, you know, on a certain level became a household name of sorts, you know, for diehard college football fans. And one guy that jumped to mind immediately, and he did it pretty much in what the first game we saw, was Cole McDonald, University of Hawaii. Put up huge passing yards. You know, Hawaii went to the run and shoot. Cole McDonald had played a little bit here and there under Drew Brown, who transferred to Oklahoma State the year before. Won the job, had an opportunity in week zero, national audience, went out, put up some huge numbers, picked up a couple of production points immediately for that. And then because he's in a system that, you know, lends itself to 300-yard passing games, he's going to pick them up pretty quick. So by the end of the year, McDonald had actually picked up 9 points based on, you know, passing yardage totals, player of the week honors. And we also, if a player makes 10 starts, 10 starts also equals a point. So McDonald started 12 games, or has so far this in his career. So that goes into it as well. So he's got 9 points. That's a pretty big total. A guy like Jordan Love, Utah State, not very many people outside of that program probably knew. So far to this point in his career, he's got 17 production points. Another quarterback, sort of again, off the radar if you're not just a diehard fan, North Texas quarterback, Mason Fine.
Yeah, my guy. I love Mason Fine.
He's started 36 games so far over the course of the last 3 years. So that right there is almost 4 production points. And then he's racked up conference player of the year honors, tons of 300-yard passing games, tons of conference USA player of the week honors. He's got 24 production points, which is more than any other player that we've been tracking, at least at the quarterback position. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin, he's probably the overall leader, he is the overall leader according to our numbers. But yeah, so players like that who were either underrated at the high school level, so they didn't come in with that talent potential rating according to 247 Sports. They can make up ground. So Mason Fine in particular, he's got enough points. He's over a 100. We cap it at 100, but he's a 100 player. So he's a highest rated player you can get. But coming into North Texas, I mean, he's 5'11", if that, you know, he's not going to be a highly rated recruit.
Right.
He came in with a 77-43 was his talent potential, but developed the system to add production because wanted to close the gap for a player like a Mason Fine or even a Cole McDonald or a Jordan Love to be able to raise their rating based on how well they played if they were sort of an overlooked or underrated player coming out of high school.
I do love that, you know, we're getting to the point where we're having analytics show up in college football all the time now. Every year it gets better and better, including your stuff, of course. And we can't get a true sense of height on a quarterback. You know, like college 5'11 probably means 5'9 and 5'8. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy that we can get these specific numbers, but we can't get a height and we can't get a weight until we get to the NFL combine every year. Nick, you also have coaching ratings. You have head yes. coaching ratings, offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator ratings. So explain to us how you make those.
So, again, the player ratings, I think, were a good place to start, and they make yes. sense. But, you know, football is not played on a spreadsheet, obviously. It's not played in a video game. These are real players. There are people who are preparing those players, putting them in a place to be successful or perhaps to not be successful. So definitely wanted to put that into account. Again, I have a coaching background, so definitely put a high emphasis on coaching as far as whether a team is successful or not based on how well the team is prepared. So went through and wanted to find a way to rate coaches on the same scale that we were players. So again, a coach is going to be rated somewhere between high 60s, low 70s, and a 100 for the highest rated, you know, Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney. Those guys are hundreds. And again, we didn't pull those numbers just out of thin air. We actually put in stats, put them all into a spreadsheet, added certain weights here and there, and it sort of spit out a number.
If it was going by salaries, Dabo Swing would be a 285, and Nick Saban right. would be a 315, I think. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we went through and did things based on winning percentage. Winning percentage for a career and at a certain school. Added some bonus points for a national championship. Went through, looked, because we do all the player ratings, we actually have an overall roster strength rating for each team. So we're able to plug all that into our schedule sheets and see when a coach took a team that was a lower rated roster talent wise and beat a team that was more talented according to our numbers.
Yes,
so
yes.
That would get points for a coach. We again just tried to pull different stats, different things, you know, how well they did against the spread. If a coach is consistently pulling an outright upset, you know, that's gonna earn more points. So the coaches' ratings aren't the formula isn't quite as public as VGR because there's just sort of a lot more nuance that goes into yes, it. Yes. But it is designed to be backward looking. So it is based on historical stats.
I like that because I was kind of wondering, you know, the chicken or the egg. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What came first, mm-hmm. you know, the roster and the construction there and the rating for the coach. So it seems like you kind of build out from roster, like you take how good this roster is. And I like the fact that you pit them, you know, against the spread has meaning, straight up wins have a bigger meaning. I love that it's kind of projected out that way.
That's the hope. But again, you know, last year we really only have a 1 year track record with it, but was pretty pleased with the results overall. Coaches that were considered highly rated coaches, according to our numbers, tended to do pretty well. Coaches that were at the bottom end, a lot of them aren't coaching the same teams anymore. So we felt pretty good at how that developed and excited to see how this season goes, obviously, because we have updated our 2019 coaching ratings and plugged those in. And that does go into account to our overall power ratings for each team. We do fold in the coaching ratings a certain percentage and weight that into that overall team rating.
Now, how would you take you have your overall team rating, you know, the head coaching rating and the coordinator rankings are in there. You've accompanied, obviously, the roster strength and the roster ratings. How would we take that number preseason and put it towards betting? Are you looking at over-unders for wins? I mean, is it just pretty much anything and everything? What is your, I guess I would say, what is your favorite thing to bet on in the preseason when looking at overall team strength?
So our team strength ratings work on the same point scale as all of our other rating system. So theoretically, a perfect team would have a 100 team strength rating, and probably the 130th team would have around a 70. So there's a 30-point gap there. And if thinking about it, you know, if the number one team in the country played the worst team in the country at the FBS level, chances are they'd be about a 60-point favorite. So the thought was, if we just doubled the difference in team strength ratings between two teams, that'd give us a pretty good approximation of a point spread.
Okay.
So that's how we have designed it. So on a week-to-week basis, we project a point spread for every FBS versus FBS matchup based on those team strength ratings. So that is one of them. I'm always looking at games. That's kind of the whole origin story, was to weekly pick, you know, who's going to win and by how much. That's
right. And I love the fact that we can take this, you know, all encompassing system and use it towards betting. And we are going to hit more of that when we come back from this break. This is Awesome Talk with Nick Allen from College Football Winning Edge. We will be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back to In This League on FNTSY. I have with me my buddy Nick Allen from CFB Winning Edge, and you can find all of his stuff on the Twitter machine at CFB Winning Edge, on Patreon, patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge. CFBWinningEdge.com. And then you can find my stuff, obviously, at Bogman Sports, at Is It the Welsh, at In This League, InThisLeague.com, all of the stuff. We have a Patreon too, patreon.com/ITL Army. So all the stuff, all the things. Now, Nick, we have been talking about your awesome CFB Winning Edge product here, and you have individual player rankings, VGR rankings, which guys like me, I can use that for college fantasy football. You turn that into team strength rankings. You have ratings for coaches. You give bonuses for on-field performances. You're taking into account production. It seems awesome. I love this stuff. It is, you know, you have already looked at season one. You've taken your bets, and I just want to know how we can apply this when we're betting, and what were your results like last season?
Well, last year went pretty well, and it was definitely a learning experience, but wanted to test whether or not we were, you know, if our hypothesis was correct, that building from the ground up a player rating system really would offer an edge. And we felt like we found some edges last year, which was pretty good. Overall, again, we checked every time two FBS teams played one another. We projected a point spread for each one of those games, and we compared our point spread to the Las Vegas spread the day before the game was played. So did it the same time every week. So it wasn't the closing line, it wasn't the opening line, it was kind of in the middle. So gotcha. That's what all this refers to. But posted those about 24 hours before kickoff each week on the website. Patreon supporters got a list ahead of time of what our line projections were. And overall, all games, you know, it's like 700 plus games, we were 51.3% against the spread, which is modest.
But for over 50% against Vegas, you're doing something right. I mean, that even shading just 1% is huge.
Well, we felt decent about that, but there were four key areas where we were really pleased. It's pretty rare, actually, that our ratings model chooses a different favorite in a game compared to Vegas. There were only about 70 times last year when that happened. But when that happened, against the spread, we hit 57.4%. Ooh. So felt pretty good about that when our favorite was an underdog, according to the odds makers. In games where two ranked teams played one another, so the biggest game of the week, two ranked teams squaring off, there were only about 60 of those games, but we actually got 60.3 of those against the spread. So you're thinking, you know, blue blood programs, we did really well when two of those teams faced one another. When a ranked team,
I mean, that's just so big. 60% is huge.
We were pleased, and it's a pretty small sample size of about.
I do like that I can hear the smile on your face. You're trying to be modest. He's like, we were pleased.
Well, you know, I mean, I do always try to give the caveats. I mean, we feel good about.
Brag about yourself. That's awesome. 57% is awesome. 60% is awesome.
Why we do what we do, but also do want to, you know, do try to be.
This is year one, too. I mean, things are being refined year two. They'll be refined year three. I mean, for year one, this is incredible. So I'm sorry I interrupted you plugging all of your awesome stuff in your amazing numbers.
Well, just two more quick ones. When a ranked team, so this is, you know, AP poll or the CFP committee rankings. When a ranked team played a Power 5 opponent, that happened about 195 times. We hit 57.4% on those. And then bowl games, which, you know, everybody loves a bowl pool.
The biggest betting time is bowl games.
Right. So, again, small sample size. There were 39 bowl games, but we hit 64.1% against the spread.
So your biggest percentage was when the most people are betting. I mean, I'm just laying it down like it is. So your best percentage is when the bowl games were playing. So, I mean, I also did well in the bowl games last year. I did a CFF contest and won some money. So we're both coming up there. But I wish I would have known about CFB Winning Edge at that point. So I could have then taken advantage. So these are some great, incredible numbers. I mean, like I said, you know, if you're shading over 50% at all, you are absolutely crushing Vegas, because, I mean, that's how they make their money, is, you know, shading just over 50%. And you know, 51, 57, 60, 57.4 and 64.1 in the biggest time, in the biggest games when the most people are watching. And that would have been 40 games, but one of them got lightning out. I remember that, so because I was aggravated at that point.
And we were actually on Boston College in that game too, and they had a 7-0 lead. Ah. So we could have almost got to 2/3 on the bowl games if things had gone to plan that day. But
so okay, so let me ask you that. I mean, this stuff is amazing. Obviously, you can use it for CFF, DFS, which is becoming bigger and bigger. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, college fantasy football, quite yet. Obviously, it's mine. I love it. But and I can't do DFS in my repressive state of Arizona. But for those of you that can, obviously, this VGR system is going to be great. You're going to have position and unit rankings. You're going to have sleepers. You're going to have usage reports. I mean, all of this stuff on a weekly basis. Now, let me ask you this. When I'm looking to bet, you know, just against the spread and all that stuff, what is a weekly report going to look like at CFB Winning Edge when I open up my week one, you know, email and see that, like, what is it going to look like?
So on a weekly basis, pretty much everything that we send out these days is through Patreon. It's just kind of the central hub for everything we do. And the site itself is public right now, but during the season we actually make it password protected. So this is only for our Patreon supporters. So weekly you'll get a message through Patreon, a post there that has everything broken down, each game, with our projected line and the Vegas projected line. We're also posting on the website sort of a capsule of each matchup, which includes each team's rating, its ranking overall, and the position and unit ratings, as you were mentioning earlier. So you can see, you know, okay, this team has the best quarterback in the country, and he's going against a secondary that's rated 67th. That's right. Probably going to be a pretty good matchup, that sort of thing. So we put our ratings and our rankings in just sort of a try to make it as simple as possible, because we know there's a lot of numbers and things can get jumbled and that sort of thing. So try to just sort of put it there in a nice little package and let our supporters just sort of read through and pick out which sort of positional matchups that they like. And then we do run a computer projection for each game that we list down at the bottom as well. So it'll say, you know, Alabama 41, Ole Miss 17, whatever. So we give a predicted final score of each game, and that's based off of our line projections that we use using our ratings and our rankings.
I love it. So let me ask you this. Just giving us maybe a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. Do you have any preseason bets? Do you have any inklings at this point? I know you're still in the process of gathering up all the information, and it is a never-ending process of putting numbers together and all of this stuff. But, you know, and you can throw your personal opinion in here as well, but national champion, I mean, you know, we have some lines, some early lines already. Obviously, Alabama is just going to constantly be favored in something like that. Alabama and Clemson, who keep landing five-star after five-star after five-star. Are you taking the normal bet, or are there any couple outside ones that maybe you think, you know, maybe at this point, because the numbers are so big, it'll pay off fairly decent, and I should put money on the Texas Longhorns to win the national championship.
Well, for futures and for national championship futures, it's tough right now, because if you want to bet Clemson or Alabama, you're not going to get much of a return. There might be a little bit of value on Alabama. The last number I saw was 5-2 for Alabama, which was just behind Clemson. We actually have Alabama rated number one overall. They have a 95 plus team strength rating, and Clemson is our number two, not very far behind. They'd be only about a 2-point underdog on a neutral field. But
what's the coach rating on those guys?
Both guys have 100.
They just top out at 100.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I think if they went, if we didn't cap it, Saban would be slightly ahead. He's like in a 102 something, and Sweeney's a 101 something.
Okay.
But yeah, we cap it everything at 100, publicly at least.
Of course.
So there might be a little bit of value on Alabama, but you know, for me, I probably wouldn't lock up money all year on a 5-2 personally. Right. I'm you know, if I'm going to do it,
yeah, numbers to get a good return on that.
And, right. You know, it's I'm just looking smart. For. Maybe a little bit of a lottery ticket sort of situation, you know, put a little bit on it. And maybe if things every star lines up, then maybe at the end of the year have a nice little payoff. And there are a couple that do come to mind for me. This wouldn't be a huge winner, but Oklahoma's 16-1 right now. So 16-1, and that's actually the fifth most likely, tied with Michigan, behind Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. We actually have Oklahoma ranked third overall, and okay. They're a ways behind Clemson. They're almost 3 full points, which would be a 6-point spread. So almost a touchdown underdog to Clemson on a neutral field. But they're our third team, and Vegas right now has them lower than that. Florida, we're pretty high on. As a Georgia grad, that's, you know, I don't like that as much. But, you know, if CFB Winning Edge picked Georgia to go 0-12, I would root for Georgia to go 0-12 because I want the numbers to be right. So, you know, last I saw, Florida's 45-1. We have them as our fifth ranked team. We do a bunch of different power ratings. So the one we make public is kind of what we feel is our best model. But we put different weights in different areas and keep track of all that behind the scenes as well. So I've got 7 different power ratings that are just sort of only I can see right now. And in going through and running the numbers on those, one of them actually projects Florida as a favorite in all 12 regular season games. So a couple of them have them at 11-1, losing to Georgia. But there's one of them that has Florida running the table. And so if I can get 45-1 on a team that could potentially go 12-0 through the regular season, even if they were to lose to Alabama in the SEC championship, still might get an opportunity to play in the playoff. That jumped out to me as a pretty decent figure there. Along those same lines, and these are more the long shots, so I certainly would not be
recommending. Right? recommending
these. I who was the guy that put his whole personal wealth on Tiger Woods?
Oh, God, yeah.
I wouldn't do that
guy. With these, right.
But a couple that jumped out, and this is probably not as valuable as it was maybe a couple of months ago. Utah, last I saw, was 100-1. We like Utah, which is interesting because last year we did not. And they had a up and down year, ended up winning the Pac-12 South.
Injuries. Yeah.
A lot of history at the end of the year. And our numbers were, because they are based in recruiting rankings and ratings, it does sometimes overlook a team that perhaps overachieves. And Utah, I think, definitely fits that mold. But this year, we are super high on Utah. They're ranked 14th in our system. Doing the projections, we have a couple that they go 11-1. If they were to do that, there's a chance maybe they sneak in, perhaps even if they overachieve our numbers, you know, maybe they're really that good. They could go undefeated and get in, and Kyle Whittingham has a great track record in bowl games this past year, notwithstanding. But, you know, if they can get in, they have an opportunity. They can beat up another team on the line of scrimmage. We're pretty high on Utah compared to a lot of others.
One of the few teams that's beat Alabama in a bowl game is Utah. So,
too. Absolutely.
Long time ago. But, all right. I mean, and this is this system is so great, Nick. I absolutely love what you're doing here. And, you know, you can use this on, like we said, there's so much application for it. There is betting. There is college fantasy football. We have preseason bets. I mean, you can bet, you know, Heisman. Just looking at your win projection totals, like it started turning the wheels in my head about Felipe Franks, who's the quarterback at Florida, you know, and he is 100% going to be the field as far as Heisman, Heisman odds go. I don't think that he would be in there. But
last I saw was 100-1. So
100-1. And he wasn't in the field. OK, I like
it. And so that is a pretty good number to me, you know, because he took a big step forward last year, and Dan Mullen's done some good things with quarterbacks. So I'd be interested in that at 100-1 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much application you can use this for. So everyone, make sure that you check out CFBWinningEdge.com. He is on Twitter at CFBWinningEdge. Patreon.com/CFBWinningEdge. Thank you so much for joining us and breaking down this system and, you know, really telling us about this, Nick. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.